consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Last verse, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take us home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shout in holy adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Fifth chapter of Romans, in the third verse, says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Let me reread that if you don't mind. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. The Bible tells us of a man that lived many, many years ago, and he was a very special individual. The Word speaks very highly of him and says things about him that I wish somebody could say about me someday. Said he was perfect, upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. This particular man loved the Lord and he feared him, reverential fear, but not only that, he hated evil. He didn't have anything to do with it. Obviously, he had made a pledge to himself at some time in his life that was no part of him. Certainly did not mean he wasn't a sinner. Certainly did not mean he didn't make mistakes. But he eschewed or had no part in evil. I can remember as a younger man in the church, men that would fit this mold. Yeah. Feared God. Yeah. Eschewed evil. Good men. And they just drew people to them because of that thing that they had within them. This particular man was blessed by God. And you look at his asset base, it was tremendous. Says that he had 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a great household, so that he was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, I wouldn't be surprised that part of what he had that he loved the most were his children. Yeah. 3 sons, 7 daughters. But obviously, they hadn't walked the same path that he walked. And they would go to the oldest son's house, and they would eat, and they would feast. And it bothered this man tremendously. As a matter of fact, it bothered him so much that it brought him to a certain position. It says in the Bible, in the first chapter of Job, it says in the fifth verse, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that they have, that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continuously." In this particular situation, those of us that have had children and raised children, to be very honest, I'm to the point in life, I don't know when you quit raising them. Twins are 50-something years old, and my youngest son is 46, 47, and it just felt like when they left the house, it was all over. Party time, me and Carol, didn't happen like that. They call. But I'll tell you one thing they don't do now. They don't call for money because they're pretty well off, more so than their dad and their mom. But in this situation, Job saw the need of his children. And as the good father of the house, he prayed for them. He sanctified them. He asked God to bless them, to look down upon them, and to care for them. For in this situation, we glory in tribulation. A few months back, I was in a hospital room in Athens, Georgia. But a good friend of mine was passing, and I watched his wife and his daughter and his son stand by his bedside, and they would kiss him, and they would rub his face, and they would remind him in a comatose state of the good times they had. And the wife came down to his ear, and she said to him, "It's okay. You can go home. We'll be all right." And as I stood there and observed the scene, I realized they were glorying in tribulation. They were gaining things from the hardships of life, things that they could use for the rest of their life, memories that they were gaining for the rest of their life. Because when Paul wrote that in the fifth chapter of Romans, he was telling us of things that's going to happen to us in this life. But in this situation, Job gloried in tribulation. In the sixth verse of the first chapter, things began to happen, and things that would set a course for Job's life. The Lord was gathered, the sons of God came to present themselves before him, and Satan came also among them. I doubt seriously that we go to a large church service somewhere, that somewhere, somehow, someplace, Satan's not there. And you're not going to recognize him. You're not going to see him because, to be very honest, he doesn't have that pitchfork and that long tail, friend. He's involved in thoughts. He's involved in situations. I was going to a church service in Tuttle, Oklahoma one time, 3-hour drive. I was on my way, and I just couldn't find a subject matter. And I got there. They put someone up first, and this someone that went first, he said this: "I think we worry far too much about Satan. I think we should spend more time not worrying about him, not being concerned about him." And all of a sudden, I have the subject matter. I'll tell you this, friend. I don't think we ought to be afraid of him, because here's the honest truth about Satan. He cannot rob your soul of heaven and immortal glory. That's yours by grace. That's yours by the power of God. That's yours, and it will not, cannot, won't be taken away. But I'll tell you what he does do. He will grab us by the nose, and he will drag us through life, and he will make us wish for something better. And Satan's in the midst of those that are presenting themselves before God. And here comes the conversation. Lord said unto Satan, eighth verse, how thou considered my servant Job, none like him in the earth, perfect upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And you know what that scripture is telling me? Evidently, Satan's been considering Job, and God knows it. And he goes, and Satan answered, doth Job fear thou for God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him? And the truth about it is, friend, that God had made a hedge around him. He had blessed his hand. That asset base, Job hadn't made that by himself. God had given it to him. God had blessed him with it. God had showered him with his blessings from on high. And Job realized that. Job knew that. That's why he loved God and he feared him and he hated evil because of the way God had blessed him in his life. Satan says, but put forth thine hand, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Great asset base. One by one, they're taken away from him. One of the servants came and he said, the Sabaeans and three groups came and they took all the camels and they killed the servants and I'm the only one left. And as the words just in from his mouth, another one comes and says, a fire fell from heaven and burn up all the sheep. And isn't it amazing how people want to blame God for things Satan does? I don't know how many times when 9/11 came that I was asked, if you believe in God, why would God do this? God did not do that. And how many hundreds of years has God had his hand of protection over this great nation of ours? And some event comes and we're going to blame him? I think not. Pray it, put it where it is. And it says, and the fire of God fell from heaven, burnt the sheep, the servants are consumed, I'm escaped. One by one, the great asset base dwindles to nothing. And then comes the worst message of all. A servant came, and I got a feeling this servant did not want to bring this message. Oh, I'll pick somebody else. Don't make me tell him what's happened. He said, your sons and your daughters were gathered at your eldest son's house. There's a wind came out of the wilderness. Where did that come from? Come from the power of Satan himself. The wind came from the wilderness and shook the posts of the house, and the house fell in. And Job, your sons are dead. How does a man respond to messages like that? How does a man come forward and say what's on his heart? 20th verse said, Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and moaned and moaned and moaned. No, it says he worshiped. Isn't that amazing? And you know why that happens? For we glory in tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience. Amen. And what you have just heard are the words of a patient man. Mm-hmm. Lord gave, Lord took away. Yeah. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm reminded in the 16th chapter of John, at the end of that chapter, where the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, says this, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You can expect it. It's going to be there. You're not going to be prepared for it. You're not going to really understand ever how it occurred. But in the world, you're going to have tribulation. But my children, my ones I died for, be caught up in great understanding. I have overcome the world. I've overcome it. I've taken care of you. And a patient man sees we glory in tribulation, for tribulation worketh patience. Sons of God came before God again, presented themselves, and guess what? In their midst there was Satan, and God says this. Lord said unto Satan in the second chapter, second verse, from whence comest thou? You don't think the Lord didn't know where he came from? This is for us, friend. This is for us in our reading today. It says, Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And look what the Lord says, third verse. He says to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? None like him in the earth. I read one time a class. I was asked to do their epitaph. What do you want on your tombstone? And I heard one guy said, I want mine to say, but I tell you, I told you I was sick. I told you I was sick. But here's something probably a little better than that. It says, Lord considered my servant Job, none like him in the earth, perfect upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity. Yeah. You know what integrity is? That's a godly humility in the child of grace. There's two times that this is used, and I'll show you both of them before we quit. And I want you, don't worry about this, because whoever the preaching committee is, they knew something. They knew that a minister with diabetes is not going to keep you to 1 o'clock. Can't do it. He'll give out far below before that. Said, and Satan answered, and the Lord said, yes. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. It's one thing for a child of grace to lose every piece of asset that they have, but you touch his life. Lord, Satan said, you touch his life, and he'll curse you to your face. It's different to lose everything, but if his body is reflecting pain and agony and bringing him close to death, a friend, he'll come to that point and he'll curse you to your face. Have you ever known someone that's had cancer? Ever known someone with bad heart problems? You ever known someone that had some ailment in life and they just knew that their lifespan was just greatly reduced? And you said to yourself, and I have said to myself, I don't know how they go through that. I don't know how that they sit there across from the desk of the doctor and the doctor says, yes, it is cancer. Yes, it is stage 4. Yes, it is metastasized to the lungs. And your lifespan is about 6 months to a year. And how do they sit there? How do they do that? You say to yourself, I couldn't do it. And you're very honest in your thoughts. But here's the situation. When those moments come, grace comes from an unseen source, from the heaven of itself, from the portals of glory, from the throne room of God, and it comes to his child, and they glory in tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience. Job is beset with boils. You ever had boils? I got one better. I had a carbuncle one time. if you couldn't handle a boil, you can't handle a carbuncle. I promise you that. But look at the situation. Job is from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, his arms, his leg, no part of his body that there is not a boil, and he is in constant pain. He can't stand up without pain. He can't sit down without pain. It's constant in his life. His wife sees him, and I think she did like my friend did to her husband. I think she was trying to have grace upon him. I think she was trying to give him the permission just to curse God and die. And he says one of the bravest things that any married man has ever said in the history of the world. He said, thou speakest as one of the foolish women. I've been married 53 years. Very happily. I still am, as far as I know, I haven't heard anything else, but my wife is with me, and I pray to God that how many ever years we've got, they're as happy as the first 53 are. But one thing I learned, and my daddy didn't have to tell me this, I'm not going to look into my wife's face and tell her, you speak as one of the foolish women. No, no. But Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Look what continue what he said. Thou speakest one of the foolish, and what shall receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did Job not sin with his lips. You know why? For we glory in tribulation. For tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. Go with me just real quickly. I'm getting a little weak, so we're going to have to close here. I'm just teasing. I'm fine. 19th chapter of Job. 23rd verse. In all this situation, look what Job says. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, Job, what do you want us to write down, Job? I'm ready. What do you want us to write down? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. You know what, Job? Guess what? We got them. Yeah. We got them. Yeah. We've been blessed, Job. We've got them right here. Amen. He said that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. Job's telling us there's something I want you to know. And I want all of humanity to know it. As a matter of fact, you go find a big rock and you get somebody with hammer and chisel and to chisel out these words and to make sure that time and rain and whatever besets it doesn't wipe those out. Put lead where you've carved it out. Job, what great words do you want us to hear that you want us to go to that great extent? Chisel it in a rock. Let it in the rock forever. Job, what would you have us today to know? What in this life where we're beset with so many things? Where we're beset with illness, where we're beset with men living with their wives and wives living their men and children going against the teachings of their mother and father and people that have known the truth all their life walk away as if it doesn't mean anything. Job, what do you want us to know? What do you want us to know? And he says in the 25th verse, for I know. Do you get any indication that he may have some doubt, some hesitancy? No, he says, I want you to know. Yeah. You can take it to the bank. Amen. You can, if I don't know that that's safe anymore, but that's whatever your safest place, take it there. Job, what do you want us to know? And he says, for I know, I know. You realize how personal this is? Yeah. I can't know the Lord for you. You can't know the Lord for me. You can't know the Lord for your children. You can't know, their children can't know. This is personal to us. Personal to us. I was called many years ago to go to a funeral, conduct a funeral for a man that had been an attendee of our church for many years. Wife joined, man never did join. I kept waiting. Every opportunity I had to encourage him, I tried to encourage him. He never joined. We're sitting in the living room and there waiting to go to the cemetery for the graveside. And his son sitting there, he's talking. And in those situations, you just listen. And he said this, I am so glad that my dad was baptized because I know because he was, he's in heaven and immortal glory. And you know what the truth of the matter was? That man was never baptized. Never was. Now, I've got a problem. Do I tell him the truth and deal with that? You know what I told him? I don't know if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I said, you don't have to worry about your dad. Your dad is in good hands. Your dad is in heaven and immortal glory. For I know. Do you know that? I know that. Do you worry about some things robbing you from heaven, robbing you from the grace that that is so waits out there for you? Job said, "For I know that that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Why? Because we glory in tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. And it makes us not ashamed. I rest my case. Amen.